A reading from Isaiah. Here the servant, identified as Israel, speaks for herself and describes her honored mission. Called before her birth like Jeremiah and John the Baptist, the servant is not only to restore Israel, the servant's ultimate assignment is to bring news of God's victory to the ends of the earth. God in faithfulness has chosen Israel for this task. And the lesson reads, "Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God.' And now the Lord says, 'Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength.' He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you.'" The word of the Lord. The psalm is read responsively by whole verse. "I waited patiently upon the Lord, who stooped to me and heard my cry. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count. And so I said, 'Here I am, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.' I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know. You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe." The word of the Lord.
And as you are able for the reading of our Holy Gospel. Our Holy Gospel today comes from John in the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God.' The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus returned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which translated means teacher, 'Rabbi, where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And children, you can keep your seats. I know you're so eager to come up here, but this message, our sermon today will be for all ages. As Pastor mentioned, I did come home to a whole bunch of sick. And so, parents, I think you will appreciate if I don't get into close proximity with your children this morning. So let us enter God's word with prayer. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for the good work of Paul and Luann and all those in this church, God, who are trying to help us to journey alongside us as we vision for the future of LCR. Help us, Lord, as we enter your scriptures today to respond to the question, what are you looking for? And to follow you in all things. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Chaim Potek, that's a name. Chaim Potek was an intensely religious man. He was a Jew who explored the dimension of faith in our lives. He eventually became a very famous author and writer about all things God. As a young man, he was going off to university, and he had been raised in this home where he was very loved, and it was noticed at a young age that he was very, very intelligent. And his parents were excited, especially his mom, for him to go into school and to get a great job making lots of money. And he told his parents that he wanted to be a writer. And they were a bit discouraged, yet he went off to his first year of school. He came home, and his mom said, "Honey, I know that you love this writing thing, but you're so smart. Have you ever thought about maybe being a doctor? Brain surgery, maybe. I mean, you could be a brain surgeon. You could save people from dying. You could make a lot of money." And every time he would say, "No, Mom, I want to be a writer." And every summer he would come home, and the mom would go into this impassioned plea. And finally, after a few years, with some exasperation and passion, he said, "No, Mama, I don't want to keep people from dying. I want to show them how to live." And those words, that internal struggle he had, expressed a desire to teach people the ways of God and the importance of following God. This morning in our gospel, we read a call story, and scripture is full of call stories. Some of them are super powerful. Some of them are a little bit painful and uncomfortable to listen to and watch just because the hearer doesn't want to respond to God. This one is not as dramatic. We enter this story in John the Baptist. Again, we're in John the Baptist again this week. John the Baptist proclaiming Jesus, the Lamb of God. And then we see this next scene where he is sitting with his disciples, John's disciples. And Jesus walks by, and John names Jesus again, and the disciples follow Jesus. They leave John, their rabbi, and they follow Jesus. And Jesus, noticing their presence, turns around, and I like to just imagine the scene. Jesus turns around and looks them in the eye and says, "What are you looking for?" And please note, the question here is not, "What do you want?" Or what do you want to do now? What do you think I can help you? What is going on in your life that you need to leave him? The question is simply, what are you looking for? And then they give this incredible answer. Where are you staying? In the Greek, the word "where are you residing," the word "staying," "reside," is meno. It's this word that means to abide, and it's used in Scripture a number of different times. In fact, in today's reading, it's used three times, right? Where are you staying? And then they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him. They manoed with him. They abided with him. The word itself is complex. The word is this indwelling, this presence felt inside your body, but also physically tangible near you. They were saying, "Look, wherever you're going, we just want to be there. We don't know what we're looking for, but we know that following you will lead us to it." You know, there's some interesting details in today's lesson, this calling of these disciples. See, they're already disciples of John, right? They've been following John, who's doing some baptisms, who's professing God as the one true God, who is telling people to turn away from themselves and turns towards God, who is promising a Messiah. And then all of a sudden, they see Jesus proclaimed as the Lamb of God, and they follow him. And the second thing that just kind of I relate to in this story is the heart of these disciples. They leave John, and they follow Jesus, and Jesus says, what are you looking for? And they're at a loss for words when they encounter this living presence of God. It was so overwhelming. There was this moment where all they could say was, you, we just want to stay with you. Is that an okay answer? Abide. We see this word later in the Gospel of John. There's the story of the vine and the branches. It's the same word that's used there. Jesus says that you will abide in me and I will abide in you. You will always have my presence with you and you will find my presence in the neighbors that you surround yourself with. These disciples felt so immediately drawn to this spiritual power that they just asked to be with him. Let us be with you. What are you looking for? I haven't always known, and there's still some days now that I struggle with it. Many years ago, I was teaching in Kenosha, and I've shared this with some of you, and after a couple years of teaching, I was doing so well that they laid me off, and I realized that I wasn't entirely sure what I was looking for. I remember being sad about not having a job, because money's important, but I also realized I wasn't heartbroken. And a good friend of mine, Ryan, who is now a pastor in Florida, he called me up and he said, hey, man, I'm going to seminary. How about, since you don't have a job, you take over as a youth minister at St. Mary's? And I politely said, you're crazy. No, thank you. I wasn't looking for that, but I wasn't sure what I was looking for. Then the senior pastor called me and offered me the same thing, and I politely said, no, youth ministry is not for me. And then after a while, I didn't have a job, so I decided youth ministry was for me. And I came back and I began working in the church in my first couple months. And Pastor knows this, Pastor Carr, others that have worked with youth and ministry know, here's what you should not do. I would give 35 to 40 minute lessons full of biblical knowledge. And they would glaze over with their eyes. And after a couple months of this, I was confronted by this group of kids, and it was a coup. And they came into my office and they said, and this is literally, they came into my office and they said, hey, stop talking at us. Start asking us some questions. It was a serendipitous moment. It was a humbling moment. It was a moment where I realized I wasn't even sure what I was saying to them because I wasn't even sure what I was doing. I wasn't even sure what I was looking for, but I knew this. I knew these young people, these inquisitive and these curious and these crazy, hormonal, terrible sometimes young people, they were looking for something. And my job wasn't to tell them about Jesus. My job was to bring them to a place where they could experience Jesus, where they could see what Jesus was doing. If I would have done a children's message today, I was going to do this quick example where we didn't just read the words of Jesus, but we listened to the story and saw Jesus live these things out. And then we thought of those moments in our life where we've seen it happen. After 26 years of hearing the story of Jesus, I finally discovered the person of Jesus in that office with those young people. And I began to really understand what it was that I was looking for. So what are you looking for? For me, it's pastoral ministry, I hope. We're getting real close. For me, I know it's being a father. It's being a husband. Music's part of it. There's all sorts of different parts of that. And I know that God's going to continue to call me to different things. And as Christians, we are called through the waters of baptism to enter into a world responding to God's call in our life. And to do so faithfully, we must first acknowledge that we are, in fact, God's beloved. And it's in that acknowledgement that we will understand that this is calling upon us. There is this desire for God that God has put into us to enter into this world and offer ourselves to it in a number of different ways. Barbara Brown Taylor, a wonderful author and priestess, wrote about this idea of what we're called to. She says, one night, it was about midnight, I asked God to tell me as plainly as possible, what am I supposed to do? And the answer she heard was, anything that pleases you. And again, I said, what? She says, I said, what? What kind of answer is that? Do anything that pleases you, said the voice again, as long as you belong to me. After that, things became much simpler for her, she says. She could pump gas or clean out latrines or whatever it was. But as long as she remembered whose she was, her calling was always a true one. And she realized in that moment that God calls us not once, but many times, over and over again in a number of different situations. My friend, sometimes the call is stunning. It is clear. It is this earth-shattering, clouds-parting call that God has placed upon your life. But more often than not, It's not nearly as dramatic. It's much more subtle and vague, and we're sometimes left shy and confused and curious and tentative and tongue-tied, and we're not sure how to respond to it. And God says, look, in those moments of unknowing, remember whose you are, and clarity will begin to take place. And so I hope you're encouraged today. I hope that you know wherever you are, whatever calling is placed upon your life, whatever restlessness that you're dealing with, God's arms are wrapped around you, and God has given you a church to comfort and lift you up, to remind you of your calling. Tomorrow, we celebrate a man that 40 years ago heard a call from God and answered it. He heard God ask him, what are you looking for? And he was able to answer, I am looking for freedom. I am looking for justice. I'm looking to raise up those who are oppressed, for all are God's people. And so Martin Luther King Jr. was able to give voice to the voice of God through the voice of his own passion. I want to just read something from one of his most famous speeches. He says, I have a dream that is deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And then all of us will be free at last. What are you looking for? In Isaiah, God speaks to a people who were oppressed. They had experienced the absolute worst of desolation and abandonment in their eyes. Yet God said, in the midst of all that, you will be my chosen people, and you will proclaim to the world that I am God. Our psalm is a psalm that reminds us that we're not offering things up here at the altar to appease God. God has called us and chosen us, and God asks us only to offer ourselves to each other. What are you looking for? It's by asking and answering this question with Jesus as your companion that you will hear Jesus say, come, come and see, abide with me. I pray we do this together. Amen.
Behold the author of our salvation. Behold the wonder of grace so free. Behold the blessing of true forgiveness at Calvary. Behold the answer for all the broken. Behold the mercy that makes a way. Behold the promise of perfect healing at Calvary. Come and see, come and see what God has done. Come and see what love has won in this place. Hearts and lives waking up to the light of the world. You're the light of the world.
The Christ is speaking with words of freedom. No condemnation.
Light of the world, God is in love, here on display. here on display. We stand in awe, it takes our breath away. God, it's your love here on display. We stand in awe, it takes our breath away. God, it's your love here on display. We stand in awe, it takes our breath away. Come and see, come and see what God has done. Come and see, come and see what love has won. In this place, hearts and lives waking up to the light of the world. You're the light of the world. In this place, hearts and lives waking up to the light of the world. You're the light of the world.
Father everlasting, he